Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here. Based on analysis of Ookla of Speed Test Intelligence data, first half 2025, compatible device and plan required. For T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
When it comes to what your family eats and drinks, you know your choices matter. You're the expert because you know what fits your life. And getting it right starts with good information. That's why America's beverage companies are sharing more information about our ingredients at goodtoknowfacts.org. No spin, no judgments, just the facts straight from the experts for more than 140 beverage ingredients. Visit goodtoknowfacts.org.
This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels and music are made for each other. They share a rhythm in the craft of making something timeless while being a part of legendary nights. From backyard jams to sold-out arenas, there's a song in every toast. Please drink responsibly. Responsibility.org. Jack Daniels and Old Number 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume.
Jack 2-0 over the Blue Jays. What can we learn from these teams who are advancing all the way to the World Series? Is there anything hitting-wise? I don't know. We talked a lot about making contact. We talked a lot about hitting home runs. We talked a lot about putting the ball in play when it counts the most. I don't know. I mean, this is what we're trying to figure out. How do you construct a team? What is the best way to construct a team? What is the secret sauce when it comes to making it to the World Series and ultimately winning the World Series? Well, we're finding out. Again, these series are not over. The World Series is yet to be determined just because you have two 2-0 series heading back to the teams, to the homes of the teams that are up 2-0. That doesn't mean anything because you know what? The Blue Jays are resilient. The Brewers are resilient. It's not over. Not over by a long shot. But while we're trying to figure this out, let's try to figure this out. Let's try to figure out what's what when it comes to this day and age of baseball, what makes these teams tick, and what has been the trend and things that we can learn over the course of 2025. And that's why we turn to a guy who knows what's what when it comes to this. It was in the belly of the beast, and that is the hitting coach of the Boston Red Sox, Pete Fatsy. He returns to the podcast, and it's a great conversation I had with him, not only because it gets into the meat and potatoes and the details of the Red Sox 2025 season, the Devers stuff, the Bregman stuff, the Roman Anthony stuff, all of that, but also the bigger picture about why happened in terms of the world of baseball and offenses and hitting. Are we starting to see a shift in terms of try just to mash the ball out of the park all the time and desperately make good contact. I mentioned Scott Harris in this podcast. I mentioned Scott Harris, Detroit Tigers GM, talking about really coming out and saying, hey, listen, we got to make better contact. Our best month offensively was in June when we did make good contact. We got to make good contact, which, by the way, Alex Bregman, remember, Detroit, now that he's going to opt out, John Heyman with that report, Alex Bregman's going to opt out, to nobody's surprise. But let's not forget the Tigers. They were the chief competitor for the Red Sox when it came to getting Bregman, offer him a six-year deal, turns it down, but maybe they loop back, and still seems like a pretty good fit for the Detroit Tigers, perfect fit for a team with a ton of young stars coming up, and also a team, as we said, trying to make good contact. Well, Bregman's name comes up in this podcast a few different times. Also, we talk a lot about just the landscape of hitting in this world of baseball, and also the landscape of being a hitting coach in this world of baseball. It is the most complicated time maybe ever to be a hitting coach. But I think Pete Fazzi, as I tell him, and I'm not just telling him just because he was on the podcast, I think he's got a really, really good demeanor and perspective and approach to handling this day and age of being a hitting coach in the world of Major League Baseball. All right. Well, anyway, you guys decide. Remember, at BB isn't boring. At BB isn't boring. Everybody go check out the newsletter. Newsletter Wigs. Our guy, Alex, he's doing a great job with the newsletter. We're going to keep that coming. All you have to do is go to the Odyssey app, subscribe to a team, subscribe to a station, and you get every day Newsletter Wigs giving his good stuff, the good stuff on the newsletter, all the good stuff, whether it's the good stuff from the Baseball Isn't Boring or whether it's from the Odyssey stations talking baseball, whether it's Newsletter Wigs just holding a coffee and reflecting on the great game. And then, of course, Producer Evan doing an outstanding job. At BB Isn't Boring. At BB Isn't Boring. I appreciate everybody listening, following, subscribing, rating, reviewing, enjoying all of it. We're here to entertain, inform, offer insight. It's just a good time, man. It's just a good time. And I really, really enjoyed sitting down and talking to Pete Fazzi in the midst of this postseason chaos. I hope you enjoyed it too. All right, here's Pete. There's no human being I'd rather be talking to more than Pete Fazzi. That's a fact. It's a fact. You have the glow of someone who has gotten some naps in, some rest. You haven't have to rely on melatonin, a constant 7-month wave of melatonin. How are you feeling? How do you feel? Good? You good?
Yeah. Thanks, Bradfo. Yeah. I mean, it's obviously, I'd like to still be playing right now, but you know, the first week, just kind of getting to decompress a little bit, think about the year, you know, the things we were able to accomplish, you know, ultimately where we want to go in the future. And it's just been nice to kind of slow down, get to be dad too, go to the hockey rink, you know, go watch my daughter do dance. And it's nice to slow down a little bit.
Do you watch the games, or are you like, that can go two different ways? You're just like, I want to run from baseball for a little bit. Or, you know, I was right in the middle of that, so I'm kind of anxious to see what happens. What do you do?
Yeah, I mean, I watch a little bit. The reality is a lot of the time, especially when these games are going on, I'm usually bringing my son or daughter somewhere. So a lot of it is me just checking my phone or going back and watching the MLB app. The games that I've been able to sit down and watch at night, like I've tried to, but to be honest, this last week I've just spent most of my time with my kids. So.
What's it like when that season ends? I remember Tito Francona saying it's just like you fall off a cliff, right? You're going. And I watched you, and you're bobbing and weaving your way from the minute it seems like you get to the park, or it seemed like when we see you, you're going from this guy to that guy to this or that, and then obviously the game starts and it's a flurry of stuff, and then the game ends and you're doing it all over again, trying to figure it out. And then it just ends, right? What's that mm-hmm. dynamic like?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, it's wild. You don't realize how tired you are until you have a minute to just kind of collect yourself. And it feels like your mind, your body, like your entire nervous system just shuts down for a few days. And, you know, it's like you don't realize that how, I mean, the season is so long. It's so grueling. You know, add the kind of the pressures of playing in October and, you know, pushing for a division through September and kind of just navigating that. You don't realize how exhausted you are because you just keep putting your head down and go. So it's the first couple of days really are, it's kind of just trying to get back into a normal routine. I mean, even things like when you know, just obviously exercise is important to me, trying to get back into a normal routine with my exercise regimen because I'm used to going to the field a certain time, starting my video process a certain time. So it's just kind of getting back into the groove of like everyday life. And it does, it takes a couple of days to slow down.
Your bench press suffer?
No, we're still good there.
Ooh. All right. I mean, that's the ultimate test. You have
yes.
to, the minute the season ends, you do max bench press just to make sure that you're still on target. So good
yes,
for you.
Exactly.
All right. Okay. Reach full muscle capacity. All you can do is maintain. That's good. All right. So now let's get to the meat and potatoes. Here's a big, broad question.
Yep.
Like, you've gone through multiple years as Major League hitting coach. Every year in life, we all evolve, we all change and everything else. You've had a few days now. You look back at 2025. What did you learn that maybe you didn't know when 2024 ended? I know that's a big question, but I think it's like an interesting one considering how much baseball is changing and particularly how much hitting is changing.
Yeah, I guess I would say the thing going, you know, ending 24, going into 25 and throughout the season that I'm most proud of this group for is just the adaptability. I think you see it, you know, from the beginning, you know, stages of the season into obviously Raffy getting traded, Breggy getting hurt, guys going down, and then guys having to come up, the Nick Sogards, the Nate Eatons, right? You know, early in the season, Connor Wong goes down, Narvi steps up. And I thought our group, from a preparedness standpoint, guys were preparing themselves mentally throughout the year and putting themselves in a position through their work, through their preparation, where that if something like that happens, it's a next man up situation. And I just was really proud at the way the guys pushed through. And thinking about some of the adversity we had this year, that's something you're always prepared to manage and deal with, I think, but you don't know when it's going to show up, how it's going to manifest. So the fact that we were able to put our heads down and work and continue to push, you know, and be a top 10 offense in baseball despite all of the challenges we faced, I was really proud of the group. I think that, again, just to answer your question, I think that's one of those things that you always are preparing yourself to deal with adversity, but you never know when it's going to hit or how it's going to hit. And you just have to kind of navigate those situations as the season goes along.
Well, was this the most, in that respect, like you said, okay, so your answer is, you know, the dealing with the adversity, but I think the real answer is dealing with a more unique adversity than you ever thought would come. In other words, there's seasons, some season where you're just like, okay, fellas, like we pretty know what we had. We'll adjust a little bit, but here we go. But as you said, mm-hmm. you had lineup changes. You had, you know, the Devers thing. You had, you know, new people. You like all of this. There's probably more adjustments that you've ever had to make. Correct? Am I right?
Yeah, I think like there's just a lot of things we had to navigate, and I think that's just a testament too. And you think about when you bring in guys again. You know, you have a Nate Eaton or you know the Nick Sogards, and you know I think when you go into spring training, obviously you're trying to build relationships and learn these guys, and they're trying to learn you and understand what you value. Obviously, we see guys, and part of our process is trying to maximize everybody's opportunity at the big league level. Development is a huge part of that. I think you go into the season with this roadmap for a player, and you try and build trust. And I think the coolest part is when guys get to the big leagues and they're contributing and they're helping, you know, they're helping us win real major league games. To me, that's when it all kind of comes together. And I think to your point, you know, you never know how it's going to show up, the adversity. But at the end of the day, the fact that these guys are willing to grow and trust us and be a part of this thing, I think it speaks to obviously, you know, the depth that our front office created, but also every one of those guys' willingness to buy in and work extremely hard to help us achieve the goal.
Well, I want to get into specifics. So there was a press conference as we taped this yesterday, the Detroit Tigers press conference, and Scott Harris, the GM, mm-hmm. had this, and I don't know if you saw this, but it was, he basically said, listen, we have to make more contact. We have to make more contact. And he said, our best month hitting wise was June. We were one of the best offenses in baseball, and that was our best month of making contact. Now, this is a big conversation in baseball, and I've been trying to dig down on playoff teams, and I always like the Blue Jays obviously make more contact than anybody, but all of that. So, but in regards to what you dealt with, I looked at it this way. I thought you guys, and you please, please, please tell me if I'm full of hooey. Like, I don't even know how to spell hooey, but right? But I felt like you guys got progressively better at making contact. And I know that Devers thing changes the dynamic. But for me, like, people were trying to figure out why you were losing a lot of one-run games. And I'm not saying this was the only reason, but I don't think it helped. And I think you got progressively better at making contact and putting the ball in play as the year went on. And that, I think, helped with runners in scoring position. That helped with, you know, close games and everything else. But again, that's my 30,000 foot view. You tell me what is your perspective of that?
Yeah, I guess zooming out, right, to the first part of what you talked about, I think we're at a point in the game where the stuff, stuff keeps getting better. Everything's velo driven, shape driven. So, I mean, you have 94 to 96 on a nightly basis going two different directions, plus a secondary, at least one, you know, above average secondary, and an additional, you know, strike steal option like a curveball, you know. And it's, I think the thing that I'm seeing more than ever is the emphasis on precision is probably the best way to put it, right? Like, and that's something we talk a lot about with our guys. I think obviously, like, the big punch speed is important, but precision, I think if you can maximize precision, you have a chance to hit the ball consistently hard. And one of the things that we did all season long was hit the ball hard. We tried to maximize keeping the ball on a line, help us put in position to keep the line moving, you know, as an offense. And I think that kind of, to your point, manifests itself throughout the season. I mean, we saw the progress or the progressions with runners in scoring position, just the punch outs in general going down throughout the season. But I think that's a testament to the guys buying in and understanding how hard it is to hit in the big leagues. And no doubt there's a time and place, you know, where guys are looking to take their shots, but you can't afford to be long either. I think, you know, the guys that made the most adjustments throughout the year, you can kind of look at the progressions, whether that's simplifying an element of their approach or their swing, but just trying to be as precise as they can, especially when they're in the box. And if the situation dictates it, being able to downshift and execute. Trevor Story is a great example of that this year. I thought he did a tremendous job with that, especially as he kind of turned the corner after May. But I think just to answer your overall question, the game's just, it's moving. It's fast. It's faster than it's ever been. Obviously the matchups make it tougher, and we have to maximize our precision, which I think is the most important piece.
So along those lines, so obviously there's an emphasis on hitting the ball hard, hitting the ball in the air, all of that. But to your point, like, that's become increasingly more difficult because of the pitching. And now, like you said, you can only have that room for error so much before you really pay the price for that. And maybe that's a broad statement, but would that be fair to say that that was the adjustment that you guys made? Because you guys did have a crap load of strikeouts at the beginning of the year. It got better. Would that be fair to say that sort of, okay, we prioritized this early in the year, but some of these guys, like, we just had to prioritize making contact a little bit more?
I don't think it was like a philosophical shift. I think, you know, like, our goal is to maximize getting on base as an offense, right? I think, like, putting yourself in consistent position to score runs requires guys on base. And then, you know, when you hit the three-run, you know, you hit a homer with a couple guys on, yeah, there's a separator there. But you have to continually put yourself in position to score runs. I think some of the early punch-outs, obviously it's a byproduct at times of personnel. But I also think some of it was – early parts of the season, offense kind of just slow start in general. But I, for sure, the conversation about strikeouts was something that.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans, send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th.
and never miss a meme or milestone. All protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
You know, for us, when we were, I think it was like 27th at one point to start the year, we're like, hey, this is an area of opportunity for us. Yes, we have the ability to hit the ball hard. We can slug. We can run the bases. We're very athletic. We have to get on base and continue to be disruptors. Like, we have to have that mindset. And then again, I think some of it, it's, you know, some of the guys settling into those ideas, but also, again, just making it more, making it more of a priority in our conversations. Just like, we have to maximize putting the ball in play. Before two strikes, you're looking for a pitch you can hit hard. With two strikes, downshift, put the ball in play, or ball four, you know, as simple as that. But, you know, just hammering that mentality.
Do you, so in that vein, when you look at the postseason or you look at the important games at the end of the year, do you buy into that, hey, you know, it is really important to put the ball in play? Like, is this, is when the rubber meets the road in October, this is going to become more important than ever. And obviously you guys only had a brief run in October, but you may be watching postseason. Do you buy into that does become a very real thing? And obviously I mentioned the Blue Jays, you know, the Blue Jays, as we sit here, they're down 2-0, but this was one of the things a lot of people were hanging their hat on. And honestly, it helped them against the Yankees. It did. So what's your perspective of that?
Yeah, I mean, you look at their roster specifically, right? That was a group last year. I mean, they make a ton of contact, right? There's some aggressive guys in that lineup, but they make a ton of contact. I think some of it is, especially as I look at just the way, you know, kind of September and October plays out, pitching is so good, and you're not getting the matchups that you are getting out of the bullpen are extremely high leverage from pitch one. So for me, yeah, you have to, I think a lot of it is trying to put yourself in a position before two strikes to hit a ball hard. But I think, you know, you just look at some of the numbers that back up slug in the postseason. I mean, I think I just saw the other day, like, the winning percentage when a team hits or out homers the other team is like 840, right? So I think slug plays a role in that too. But I think in general, the contact skill you have is the contact skill that you have. You're trying to maximize that before two strikes. And with two strikes, you have to battle to put the ball in play. So I'd be lying to say that I have a definitive answer for you. But I think what it comes down to is every team has to understand the type of offense that you have. And you can't necessarily try to be someone that you're not once you get into those moments, because I think that's when you can, you know, when you can, I don't want to say hurt yourself, but like you can start to spiral. So I think you have to understand the type of offense that you are, the game that you play, knowing that anything can happen in a 3-game series, a 5-game series. And it just kind of, you know, makes you double down on the principles that are always important. Before two strikes, what are we looking to do? With two strikes, what are we looking to do? And then again, valuing the situational approach, you know, when the opportunity presents itself.
Did you feel like, you know, you had some guys going through the postseason for the first time. Did you feel like some guys were getting outside themselves? And I know that you're going up against good pitching. Like, listen, I mean, Schlittler's dealing. I mean, it's people forget, like, he's really, really
good.
But did you as a hitting coach have to remind guys, okay, you know, let's reel it in. I know the crowd's big. I know the moment's big. I know that you want to do well. But, you know, did you have to offer reminders, and did you see that where guys that you were sort of getting out of things?
No, I don't necessarily think the guys were getting out of things. I think those moments, you know, they're just, you know, you think about you play a 3-game series, you move on, you play during the course of the year. It just becomes this cycle. And obviously the one game rolls into the next. But I think the thing that I felt like personally is that, you know, every game, obviously every single pitch, every moment is so impactful, because you're literally just, you play one game, you win, you go into the next one. The goal is just to, you know, you're fighting, you know, from pitch one, so to speak, because the margins are so small. I think we learned a lot as a group. I think, you know, what you learn, at least in my opinion, about playing baseball in October is, again, going back to the margins, everything, the margins are so slim. Every play, every pitch, there's a ton of value. There's a ton of emphasis on. And I think it comes down to the more you're exposed to those environments, the better you're going to be. Like, I have no doubt that this group next year is going to be even more prepared for those moments because of what we went through as a group this year. Would we have liked to be on the other side of it? Sure. But I think at the end of the day, the exposure and the experience is going to help this group a lot.
A big part of any lineup, and I've said this, is
is having the alphas, you know, that you have to get through at the top. You know, like for instance, last year, the World Series, Dodgers, Freeman, Mookie, Otani, Soto, Judge, Stanton. You guys were relying on some guys that weren't necessarily like performing at their best. But, you know, they obviously have the capability because, like you said, they've showed it. I just want to sort of pick through some guys, including like Alex Bregman is a guy who is a fascinating guy. I mean, for you, must be fascinating. But it seemed like also he had to, when he came back from the injury, we talking about adjustments, like he had to make adjustments. And that's a constant adjustment. And obviously the numbers weren't saying, oh, well, you know what, he took off and he made this adjustment that allowed him to take off. But from your perspective, how interesting was that and how challenging was it for you, for him, particularly when he came back from the injury?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing for me with Breggy is, I mean, it's amazing what he did. You talk about cutting the timeline down of his injury. I can't remember what it was forecasted at or projected at, but like to cut it down to the 12 weeks or so that he missed. And then also to come back, no rehab assignment, and just hop into big league games and start competing. I mean, you think about like how hard that is to do. You know, we've seen other players, you know, go through injuries, you spend time on the aisle, then you come back in the acclimation period. Like the fact that he was able to jump into games and you know, compete and put together really good at bats speaks a lot about him and his preparedness and what it means to be a part of our group. Like it was amazing to watch him do that. And then I think a lot of it is just trying to catch a rhythm. And one thing in hitting, you know, when you're feeling good, there's this tendency to kind of continue to roll days. And then when sometimes there's struggle, it kind of rolls in the opposite direction where you feel like you constantly have to refine or find the thing that is missing. And I think that's where the challenges are. You know, before he got hurt, he was on a roll for, you know, 2.5 months, you know, he was unconscious. And although he, you know, didn't finish the year like he started the year, I think having Alex Bregman in the lineup always made us a better team and more dangerous. So I was more kind of astonished that he was able to get back in the timeline he did and be prepared and jumping right into major league games. But
what was the dynamic like? You know, you went through a little bit. Well, JD Martinez is a guy like, you know, where you have a guy, it's actually three different things. It's your relationship with him, talking him one-on-one. It's Bregman's relationship with talking to other players, which is everyone loves, like they love that player's perspective is always valued. And then you also have, as is the case with a lot of guys now, you have a third party in his hitting guy, his people. If you can, from the hitting coach's point of view, I find that really, really interesting. And I think that, and I'm not just saying this because you're here, I appreciate you being here, but I'm here to build you up. But I think that you have the right temperament to handle that. Like some hitting coaches, maybe not, but that's a lot, you know, that's a lot of voices, you know? So what's that like for you?
Well, you know, like to your point, I've been here for, you know, 6 years and had experience. And I remember when Tim Hyers hired me in the fall of 2019, that was one of the questions he asked me, you know, how would I navigate that part of the experience? And like, I think that it all starts with, you have to build strong relationships with your players first and foremost. I think at the end of the day, if you do that, then when you want to communicate or if you show interest in communicating, because at the end of the day, it's for the betterment of the player and the betterment of the team. So I think when you spend time early on in camp, obviously we get to know not just, you know, Bregman's guys, but other people that are close to our players. When you have time to build a relationship, I think that's really important. I think off of that, to me, it kind of starts with the end picture, you know, like you have to know where you want to go objectively. And if we can align on where we want to go, and it's like, this is the big rock, this is the thing we have to focus on, this is why. I think the how you get there sometimes takes shape. And I think that's the beauty of our game. You can get input. Other people see, you know, whether it's a drill, a feel, some sort of a different progression in the cage, different cue. Like, I think that the best part of our game is that nobody has the right answer. So I think as long as you know objectively where you want to get to, that becomes like your North Star. So all the conversations can be driven to that. And then it becomes a checks and balances. Are we making progress? Are we not? Do we have to move the process? Do we have to, you know, where do we have to adjust? And I think that's kind of been the best way I've, you know, managed to continue to work with hitters that have people in the private space, just because, again, we can't control everything. But I think at the end of the day, if you have a good idea of where you want to go, that's where the alignment's created.
But you say relationships. It's not relationships with the players. It's relationships with the third party.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We're and a lot of times, you know, in the off seasons, when we go and visit different places or different facilities, that's a big part of the relationship building. Like, we'll go spend time at a facility, you know, not only see the player, but like talk to the people that are around the player and give them, you know, perspective on what we're seeing or where we want to go with the player and what we think the opportunity is for the player. And that's kind of where we forge a lot of those relationships. And I've been fortunate to have some of those for a few years now. But it's a big part of the process.
All right. So we talked about adjustments. I want to talk about the adjustments that needed to be made or how it changed when these two things happened, the Devers trade and then the Roman Anthony injury. Obviously after the Devers trade, after that initial week, it changed for the better in terms of you guys winning and producing and everything else. The Roman Anthony injury, I always say this, Pete, like, you don't run isolations for outfielders because it's baseball, right? It's nine guys.
Yep.
But
yep.
it kind of felt like there's certain guys where, like, you kind of run isolations for them, and Roman was that good, right? So if you could just – the first is a Devers thing. How the whole lineup, from your perspective, changed once, like, that lineup shift happened?
Yeah, I don't – you know, it'd be hard for me to pinpoint, like, a specific – I think the reality of the situation is being in the middle of the season, right? Like, I think guys were we were starting to really come together as an offense and an identity, you know, like, obviously, like, I think, you know, you look at when Sedan kind of started to turn the corner, obviously Trevor, some of that was making adjustments from things that we saw early in the year that we needed to continue to progress. Right. So I think the timing of it was good on our end. Like, we were prepared to accommodate, you know, Rafi not being there. As far as, like, you know, the mentality, like I said before, from an adversity perspective, like, you never know when it's going to strike, but you have to be prepared to adjust on the fly. And I think our guys did a great job of continuing to put their heads down and, you know, just try and win ball games and execute. So it'd be hard for me to pinpoint anything other than that there. I think Roman's situation at the end of the year, you know, Roman did a fantastic job. He made a ton of small adjustments over the, like, just little things that I felt like I've seen from guys. It take 200 at bats. This kid would do it in 30 at bats.
Yeah. So not to interrupt you, but, like, you're reminding me of, like, it was documented. I think Jorge Castillo of ESPN wrote a story on it. I think it was something Bregman saw, right? I mean, this sort of, like, dovetails with everything that we're talking about. So
yeah.
take me through that, like, because that seemed, so what we're talking about is, Bregman saw something, Roman changed his stance a little bit, and then he sort of took off. Take me through that.
Yeah, so kind of to piggyback off that, right? Like, it's something that we had saw in spring training. You know, Roman had his hands really far out in front of his face. His hands would essentially kind of pull back and get behind him. And we noticed, obviously, from a profile perspective, the kid hits the ball really hard. Obviously, there's an opportunity for him to catch the ball a little bit further out in front, use his pull side gap a little bit more. Like, there's opportunities for that. But he hits the ball hard enough to drive the ball to center left center field. But just kind of looking at the move is a little big. It sometimes we get out of sync. And we kind of just felt like, yeah, we could help. Simplifying this could help his ball flight. But we also feel like it could help him against lefties, just kind of create some better lines with his upper body, not get as crossed up, so to speak. And Breggy grabbed him one day in Philly. And I remember they, you know, I was there early. And all of a sudden he sits down. He's like, hey, I've been talking to this about him. You know, let's go. And he starts ripping through video, talking shop. We went right to the cage and got to work. And which is, like, a very small but, like, very consistent Breggy approach, right? Like, Breggy is.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in, the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
It's all over everything all the time. You know, I mean, the amount of times I'm in the video room and like moments like that happen where we just are talking about something or somebody or an adjustment or something we're seeing, like that's what makes him great, you know, and that's where his impact on our group's like invaluable to me. But getting back to what I was saying about Roman, like the kid would make adjustments that you'd think would take 200, you know, bats, and this kid would do it in 30, 40. Like he would just be able to like apply things fast. So at the end of the year, right, he starts settling into, I mean, he's a very productive part of our lineup, right? He's, I think he was 850 OPS at that point, but he takes his walk situationally, you know, he's going to put the ball in play, hits heaters. So he was a, you know, he was a big part of our lineup. So I think a lot of it is probably overblown by just the timing, right? Because we're down the stretch, there's 2 weeks left in the season. This guy's playing really well. And I think it's just the circumstances of the time of year. And then, you know, naturally, like, you know, the noise gets a little louder on the outside. And I think it just becomes a thing when the reality is it just was another moment that we had to work to overcome. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I will say this is that the dynamic that you had of when you guys put him in the leadoff spot, and then you had obviously Bregman, Duran, who thrived in the number three spot for a while, then Story. Like, I go back to sort of like these playoff teams that have, you had got to get through this portion. You know, like the Mariners. That's what I look at. I'm like, look at the Mariners. Raleigh.
Yep.
You know, you have Rosarena, you have Raleigh, you have Rodriguez, and then you have Polanco. Like, that's a tough group to get through. And I felt like that was the dynamic you guys had. And that's, I guess that's what I'm saying when you're bobbing and weaving trying to figure out after Roman isn't in there what to do. So that's why.
Yeah. No, absolutely. But again, it's and to your point, you know, it's one of those things where, JD goes back to leadoff spot. You know, we're theoretically right. We're one guy short in that big four that you had mentioned. But, you know, again, it just gave opportunities for other guys to kind of step up. And, you know, you think about just like Romy's season, you know, again, Narvi playing through, you know, some of the things he had to play through this year, like everybody finding a way to step up and push. It's hard because you're not going to replace Roman necessarily in that moment. It's just the amount, it's the collective group having to raise the floor. And again, you know, we were able to push ourselves through, obviously not as far as we'd like, but the boys did a nice job.
Jesse, I appreciate your time. A couple more things. Do you feel, and these are very cut and dried answer, I guess, do you feel like you guys need to hit more home runs? And I know that you deal with what you have, right? Like you said, you can't get outside of what you are, and you just didn't have a lot of home runs. Do you feel like you need to hit more home runs?
I think there's guys are going to take steps to hitting more homers. I think the reality is like, you know, our job is to hit the ball hard. I mean, we were what, first or second in extra base hits. You know, we hit a ton of doubles. Yeah, homers are great. You know,
homers are great.
You know, I mean,
hold
I think
on, let me write it. This. Let me write
yeah,
that.
Homers
down.
Are great. Yeah, homers are great. I think that might be a T-shirt actually. Homers are great.
If we only knew someone who could do it.
Good point. You know, we finished middle of the pack with in homers, and yeah, I obviously I think for a good portion of the year, you know, like we were still within the top 10, and I mean the last month and a half we did not hit a bunch of homers, and I think obviously you saw some of the run production as a result. I think homers give you, again, it's the immediate opportunity to put runs on the board, which is always very important. I think again, making sure that we stay true to the offense that we are and not trying to sell out to be something that we aren't, I think is also very important. And we knew, I feel like our best opportunity was to always put ourselves in a position to score as many runs as possible. And that's getting on base so that when you do hit a homer or a double, it's 2-3 runs. But I think there's guys who are going to take steps forward next year, and that total will grow for sure.
As I said, one of the things, you know, I genuinely, I think that should be appreciated by you is your personality and your ability to sort of listen. I think this is a big part of this. I've said this a million times. Torey Lovullo is maybe the best listener and actually listens, asks questions. And for someone in a coaching or manager, that's very important. So there's a lot of people, as we said, with a lot of ideas. A lot of people wanted to do this sort of cut and dry narrative about the driveline thing. Like, I feel like for you, you know, what's being introduced, it's, I would imagine since 2019, a different philosophy has been introduced maybe more than once. And you said, okay, I'm going to take this and I'm going to use this and I'm going to use this and use this. What is right and wrong about the narrative about, oh, they hired half of driveline and that's the way they're doing things?
I think the reality is, you know, like, the goal is to create a system, an offensive system, right? There's a minor league component to that. We're trying to develop and extract as much as we can from a player perspective to make them capable big leaguers, whether it's for our organization or somebody else, right? That's how you drive player value. I think at the big league level, I use the word extraction a lot, right? Like, it's about taking what you have because everybody is there. You're trying to further develop them, right? You want to continue to raise the floor, right? Because everybody gets there with a relatively high ceiling. That's why they're in the big leagues. But what saves you is making sure the floor is high. And I think, like, the thing for me is the way we've gone about this, I think the people that we've brought in, especially Jason and some of the other staff members impacting our minor league group, they've really helped us define systems to objectively measure those things. I think we've taken such a huge step as an organization, not only just clearly laying those things out, but also creating usable tools and just things that help make not only our coaches better, but our players better. You know, that just, they've done such a good job creating systems. I think where baseball is awesome is, I think every single person has shared experiences. We've all made players better. Heck, we might have made players worse, right? Like, there's no denying that. There's no one size fits all approach. But I think when you have the ability to objectively identify areas of opportunity to get better, like, you create a plan and you can measure those things. I think more than anything, our organization's grown tremendously with those processes. We're very diligent about what we're trying to attack. We have process to evaluate if it's working or not. And if it's not, we have to hold ourselves accountable and we have to make adjustments to the plan. So again, I don't think this is like a complete 100% like, or 180 flip to like an ideology. Hitting the ball hard is still important. Getting on base is still important. Making contact, the quality of your contact is still important. Those things have been around for 100 years, but we just have a better idea of how to measure those things and areas that we can potentially attack to solve problems. And that's what that group's done really well.
Well said. I actually, I can consume.
Is it all right?
No, I can consume that.
It's a little
like,
long-winded, but
no, it's not long-winded. Honestly, like I'm sort of digesting those words because I want to learn about it. Right? It's like, you know, this isn't. I don't want to be old man yelling at clouds, like saying, "Hey, how dare you swing so hard and swing straight up? Like you have to make it's." And I think a big part of it is I'll come back to sort of what I said about you, is that I think that you're obviously going to get players in who have their way of doing things, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's not like, no, here, come on in, do the Red Sox way of doing things. Like, it's like that can't happen, and I don't think it does happen. So that's my point. So.
Yeah, and I think – well, I also think, too, you know, it depends on where players are at within their careers, too, right? Like, you know – our job in the big league level, like I said, we're fortunate that we have some really talented homegrown players that have, you know, experienced development a certain way. When we acquire a guy, you know, like a Bregman, or, you know, years ago as an example, Trevor Story comes in. You know, I think where we start is, again, identifying the objective opportunities for a player to be better, right? Like, this is what makes you really good, and that's why you're here. And you have to know that, because you're going to have to lean into it when the game gets tough. But there's always this opportunity to raise your floor, and that's where we spend a lot of time and effort in the background working on identifying those things. Where do we want to start? And then ultimately, how do we want to create kind of checks and balances throughout the season? And I just think that process is the most important part, because at the end of the day, like, player performances, it can be volatile, right? We all know that the game can be volatile, but if you have processes in place to help you manage it, it makes it easier to kind of stomach when things aren't, you know, maybe going the way you like, but you have indicators that it's going to turn. So, I think that's been probably the biggest, like I said, impact that we've, I guess, shift that we've seen in the last couple of years.
So the last thing is, I want to know what you think the question, or what do you think the evolution is next, right? You know, for instance, the traject machine, right? That just became a big part of baseball. It seemed like an aberration. Like, I think that you guys were the only team to have it in the minor leagues like a year ago or something.
Yeah.
Like, and obviously now everyone's investing in it. They actually ran out of them. That was the one thing that I found fascinating, that Derek Falvey told me, like, they couldn't make them fast enough.
Yeah.
Right. And I think I asked you, amongst the hugs and the tears of the last game, I was still fascinated. Hey, did you use a traject machine on Cam Schlemmer? But I felt like it was an interesting thing, because this is, and I think it came up in Eno Saris's article, where, you know, they talked about Treya Savage and how unique he was.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices.
at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey.
You have a pitcher you hadn't seen before, and that's why I was talking about asking about Schlittler, because you guys were fighting for your lives against Detroit at Fenway. You were worrying about Detroit. You weren't about their pitchers. You weren't necessarily thinking about the Yankees. Then you hadn't faced Schlittler until the third game. You don't have the Trajec machine on the road, which maybe is that gonna change? I don't know. Yeah, could it change?
I wonder. That's actually a good point, because you think about, in the dugouts, right? Like, every team has to have access to like the exact same amenities within the dugout, because per major league rules, right? Like, I think it's like down to the heating system or whatever, right? Like, there has to be synergy there, because it's like you can't have the on-field competitive advantage. But like, I wonder if Trajec ultimately makes its way into like every batting cage, where it just becomes like it's a huge expense, right? So I don't think it's going to happen, but it's interesting to think a few years ago, I remember when MLB came up with cage policies, and it was like, you have to have this certain screen, you have to have a big hack, a mini hack, obviously like 10 or whatever, 10 dozen new baseballs. Like, there's a minimum requirement for every visiting cage. And I always wonder, like, with the advancement of technology, when's that going to change? Because it is a huge advantage to have it. Obviously, you can't expect every team to necessarily have a home and away Trajec, but like,
you can't carry it. It doesn't fit in the truck, or I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. But I wonder at some point, like, when does it all become commonplace? Because even when I first started this job with the Red Sox, which was, six seasons ago, like, getting a big hack in every cage sometimes was a challenge, just making sure we had the right hack attack. And now it's all mandated. So
it's a great point. I mean, it's a great point. And I think that the only answer is to actually have teams put it into one fund and make sure that it happens, because like, some teams like, oh, we can't do that.
Exactly.
I mean, there's some teams. A year ago, I don't know if this is still the case, there was a lot of some major league teams that didn't even have it. Their own.
Yep.
So, I mean, I just look at like that when you look at a guy that you hadn't faced, like Schlittler, like that was not to say that, give Schlittler credit, but still, that's a thing. I mean, that's become a thing, right? So, anyway.
Yep. It's the comfortability piece too. Like, just guys getting a chance to get a look, even if it's brief. Like, I think we've worked to build our day around how to best use it, and I think our guys have really gravitated towards it, especially over the last year and a half. Early on, when it's the new adopters of it, right, sometimes there's like that phase you have to get guys used to using it, kind of like seeing the value, how are we going to implement it within the structure on a daily basis. But because we have it in Fort Myers in spring training, we were off and running from day one, so it's just become so much more commonplace within guys' routines. It's one of those things that, like, you're just kind of, it's plug and play now, and there's still guys that, that don't use it every day. But I think the thing that we've worked with those guys on is, how do we create the right amount of, stress within your preparation, so to make sure, like, all right, if you're not going to hit it today, like, what are you doing? Is it a mixed BP round? Is it we're going to do something with the machine where we're making decisions, but like, trying to make sure that we have those processes dialed, because the other reality is we don't have it on the road. So you get it half the time at home, and on the road, you have to have solutions for that too.
Who is the pitcher?
How to train.
Who is the pitcher that that jumps to mind and said, oh my goodness, I'm so glad we had this machine to simulate him because he's so unique.
The guy that just has plagued us for the last years, Joe Ryan. And it's funny too, because
who's he?
Yeah, well, just exactly. Well, like, but his tempo down the mound, the handbrake, how late it happens, obviously the vert, like, I just remember us like grinding on him down there, because we see him in spring training. We've seen him feels like twice a year, and he always packs our lunch, like, this guy he's like been our nemesis with the four seam. So, but he's one that stands out.
That's a good one though. I mean, it's like, does it, did it, So is using that as an example, did that, okay, help? You said he's still really good. He did really well against you. But did guys come away and said, all right, I feel a little bit better about facing Joe?
Yeah. But I think, he's an example, but it's kind of the same, you know, it's kind of the same feeling you get like with all the all those guys get kind of afterwards. I mean, there's some guys that like to rep it out, but a lot of guys just kind of prefer to see the shapes. It's like, I just got to see the breaking ball. I got to see the fastball. And obviously the nuances of it are, you know, you're not getting all of the context cues that you would typically get with like the hand and things like that. You see the release, but it's one consistently.
You get
video.
You don't get the extension either. Like,
No. But at the end of the day, you think about it, it's like, it's still the best option that you have to prepare against that guy. Like, if you're thinking about like the things that you can do so that you feel comfortable going to the box, that is probably the most, it is the most realistic outside of somebody standing there throwing you a live bullpen. But the other thing is it's controlled. Like, we can control whatever pitch, the sequence, location. So we can kind of like set it up however we want for the training.
Well, listen, you've been very generous with your time. Is your wife still sitting next to you?
Yeah, she just got us sandwiches.
You can be the first with your wife as a witness. It didn't work out this year, but you can be the first to re-up on the tattoo commitment. Yeah.
I didn't forget about that either.
Yeah, oh, no,
I didn't forget about that.
No. Listen, Alex, your manager, Alex Cora, has had documented multiple times on multiple platforms, usually with a big sigh. Yeah, I guess. I have not asked him if he's going to re-up. They like say, if you win the World Series, will you get a baseballs and boring tattoo? So you can be the first. Are you going to re-up?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm in. Put my name down.
All right, hold on.
Let's go.
Pete Fassi,
you're writing it down.
Number one. All right. Hey, thank you so much. I really appreciate
it. No problem. You bet, Bradfo.
And Doug. Here we have the Limu Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu? Is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera. They see us.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.